Now. Real people. Real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
Many of you will know that the Grand National took place on Saturday. Now, the race was won by I Am Maximus, which I know nothing about horse racing. So I'm assuming this is all accurate and Jane just hasn't made up some random name, okay? But I Am Maximus and the rider Paul Towand. And it is a divisive event for many. It's a bit of fun, I suppose. For serious gamblers, it's like Christmas Day. But for animal rights activists, it's a dangerous and grossly unnecessary event. Now, we know that two horses died after falling at obstacles at the Merseyside track. Jovinko on Friday's race and Pidcar on the last race. And this comes after three fatalities this year. Or should I say last year. Unsurprisingly, the RSPCA has called on the British Horse Racing Authority to investigate the latest deaths. They are quoted as saying, if racing is to continue, the BHA must make the sport as safe as possible for the animals we all love. But is that enough? Taking these deaths into account, there have been 67 deaths at the Grand National since 2000. That's not a long time, really, is it, when you think about it? That's quite a lot of deaths, you know, in the space of 24 years. Well, 23, realistically, I suppose. And for what? For a lot of people to make a lot of money. For a lot of others to lose a lot of money. I mean, what is the value in the event like this? Entertainment? Or is it barbaric? Will we look back one day at this kind of event and think, we were the animals allowing horse racing to continue? Or is it part of life and should we just accept it? I want to know what you think about horse racing in general. Do you believe events like the Grand National or these large events where horses are run around a track for the purpose of making money, do you believe those events should be banned? Let me know what you think. Now, by the way, it's not beyond the realms of possibility. We banned animals in circuses going back some time ago because we didn't believe it was right for us to use animals for the purpose of entertainment. There has been discussions around the very idea of a zoo. It's a Victorian idea. Yes, it can have some positives because we spoke to Jerry Creighton there recently. But in saying that, is it really necessary? Maybe not. There have been discussions about phasing them out over time, eventually in the future. Because, you know, we don't need to go to a zoo to see an animal anymore. We can watch the Discovery Channel or whatever it happens to be. We have refused now to use animals in a lot of things. You know, when it comes to chemical testing, for example, for cosmetics, we don't use animals anymore. Well, we certainly try not to use animals anymore. So we have reduced the amount of animals we use for our entertainment or for experimentation. We've tried our best to reduce it. So what's the difference with this? The Grand National or any such event, should they be banned? Let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. Or maybe the better question is it cruel? Do you think it's cruel to the animal? Let me go to John. John, hi, how are you? Oh, hang on, John, I do apologise. We're going to have to ring you straight back. I do apologise, John. It's one of those days, isn't it, where the gremlins just climb inside the computer and all of a sudden the gremlins say, we need to get back in there again. Jane, you're going to have to just reset that there. I do apologise. So, getting back to the Grand National. Now, on numerous occasions in the past, we have had John Carmody on the air. And John has talked to me about how cruel it is, you know, to have these events. And his argument is that the horse doesn't consent. Or the animal, or the greyhound, or whatever particular competition it happens to be. They don't consent to this. You know, and then people use comparisons like, but sure, human beings play contact sports. Like, rugby can be dangerous. You can lose your life. But we all condone that. You know, boxing, for example, is quite a dangerous, well, if you want to call it a sport, I don't personally call it a sport, but people lose their lives during that. Human beings, and we don't ban it. But then again, that's different because we're adults and humans. And we can decide if we want to play rugby or if we want to play or if we want to get into a boxing ring. We don't have to do it. The difference is the animal doesn't have a choice. We decide for the animal whether they should or shouldn't be allowed or, you know, enter the event. So let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. Sorry, I got sorted there now. Elaine, hi, how are you? There you go. There she is now. Elaine, hi, how are you?
Not too bad, Nate. How are you?
Sorry, I had a slight gremlin in the system there for a couple of seconds, but we're all sorted now and you're back in the land of the living.
Thanks for the God. Yeah, how are you getting on?
I'm grand. So, Elaine, would you be a fan of the racing?
I wouldn't be a massive fan of the racing, but I would be a fan of horses in general and stuff like that.
Okay.
To be honest.
Okay, yeah. So what do you do yourself? Do you own a horse?
I don't own a horse, no. My daughter's into horse riding there, and we're just kind of getting into them over the last 2 years. But they're lovely. They're lovely animals, like, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, like, people have been on a horseback since the dawn of time. There's no doubt about
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Yeah, since the day of dawn there. And I'd say we're probably coming close to it again, I'd say.
Yeah, so, I mean, look, horses were the main form of transport before we had steam engines. Yeah. So they were the main form of transport for everybody. It was necessary. But is horse racing absolutely. Necessary?
I think, you know what, Neil, I wouldn't like to see it gone. I wouldn't like to see any more of our culture being cancelled, to be honest, but I would like to see it being regulated a bit, maybe take the money aspect out of it, and they mightn't be so keen to treat the animals kind of the way they do.
Well, if you took the money aspect out of it, I can guarantee you it wouldn't exist, because it is all about the money, isn't it, mainly for people?
It is, but, you know, it's greed too, Neil. I mean, like, they are animals at the end of the day, and I mean, I don't mean to sound kind of like a tree hugger or no ranting, but They do feel the same as humans, and I mean, when their legs are injured, that's their day is over. Like, they're done then. Like, you know, there's no healing in the legs, and I mean, it's just unfair to raise.
Pardon my ignorance, right? I've often heard that. So, but the leg does heal. Well, if you have a good vet to put a splint on it, the leg does heal, but it's never going to race again, obviously. But the leg does heal, doesn't it?
To a degree, but never back to what it was. It'll never be what it was, like, you know. But I just don't think it's fair to race them out of the way they do, like, you know.
Yeah,
but I wouldn't like to see it banned. I wouldn't like to see it being banned, but I think it should be maybe regulated another bit.
There's a lot of sports that we kind of think about like this. Like, greyhound racing is another one, obviously. You know, where dogs are run to. I mean, and the problem is, if the dog is out, the horse is of no value anymore. In other words, it's not winning races. You know, it turns into dog food. You know what I mean? So, I mean. Yeah. Really, is that fair that we're basically raising horses, and Ireland would be the leader of this in the world? We're raising horses just to race, and if they're not much use at racing, generally speaking, that's it. Their life is over. They're slaughtered.
Yeah, it is terrible. It's a ridiculous industry, but I think it's been going on for years inside in Ireland, and you know there has been more than just horses this year and last year killed in the sports, but I think. More so now with what's going on in the world. I think they should regulate it a bit more, Neil, to be honest. I wouldn't like to see it being cancelled, because I think we're losing out in a lot of our culture lately. There's a lot of stuff kind of being dwindled away from us. But that's
a natural progression of society. For example, you know, people have now started to question bullfighting now, even in Spain, and that would be quite traditional. Now, so far, obviously, they haven't banned it. But I can see a future, probably in 10 or 15 years, where bullfighting will be banned. You know, and that would be a great Spanish tradition. So, you know, the only reason these traditions stopped for animals and circuses, that was a huge tradition. And we got rid of that about, you know, 7 or 8 years ago. And the reason is because we didn't believe it was right to use an animal for entertainment purposes and for us all to sit there laughing at. You know what I mean? That we didn't think it was right to do that.
No, I didn't. I wouldn't have agreed either with the animals caged in at circuses and stuff like that. I'd be very like, you know, leave them to the wild or whatever the case may be, but not to cage them and, you know, treat them inhumane, to have them actually trained and do what they do. Like, you know, I just don't think it's fair. I don't think it's fair.
Yeah, I mean, I do know that, you know, horses do like running. There's no doubt about that, because even in the wild, when you see horses, you know, across America in the wild, stallions, and they're running across these, you know, greens or whatever. I mean, so there's no doubt that they enjoy running, but do they enjoy racing is the question. Let me just go to Ben as well. Stay there, please, Elaine. Ben, hi, how are you? Yeah.
Hi, how are you keeping?
Good. I know nothing about horse racing, and I'm going to be completely honest with you. I'm not a fan of it. It wouldn't interest me at all. But do you think the sport is cruel?
No, I wouldn't think it's cruel, no. I think when you think of horse racing, people look at whips and horses falling and all those, the horrible things that happen, but they don't look at the good side of it.
Okay, what's the good side, so?
Well, the good side is that they're cared for better than humans are. They're immaculately looked after in Ireland. They're fed well, kept well, groomed every day.
Yeah.
They, as you said yourself there, they enjoy running. They enjoy jumping over a fence.
They enjoy jumping to their own limits. We push them to limits of the extreme.
And that suits the greed of the sport, definitely. But I think the thing is that if you do ban horse racing, what happens to all the horses? I think people forget that side of it, is that if you ban horse racing, it's going to be a lot worse for the animals than it will be if horse racing stays around.
Well, I think initially it's a problem, obviously, because there's all these horses with nothing to do. So we all know what's going to happen there, right? Because it wouldn't be affordable to keep them all. But in saying that, if we banned horse racing in the long term, what would happen is horses wouldn't be bred for horse racing anymore. They'd still breed. It's not like they're going to completely not exist anymore. I mean, there are wild horses in the country and in the world. You know what I mean?
There is, yeah. But I think if you get rid of the industry, the collapse.
Oh, the population. The population of horses will obviously decline if you got rid of horse racing, of course.
And like, I know it's not part of the horse side, but you also get rid of about 20,000 jobs. And, you know, and that's a huge factor for our country and how we actually run imports.
Well, the economy, and don't get me wrong, the economy benefits greatly from horse racing. I believe the figure was something like $2 or $3 billion a year. So it does benefit greatly between tourism, you know, betting and all that. It's a huge industry. Absolutely.
Yeah. I think, though, that if you looked, you named two horses there that died in Aintree this week. Giovinco didn't die in the National. I'm pretty sure the other one you named didn't die in the National.
Look, no, it said, well, it just says in my script here, because I'm going to be honest, I know nothing about it, horse racing in general. It just says they died at the Merseyside track, Giovinco, on Friday's first race and Picar in the last.
Yeah, so neither of them actually died in the National itself.
Yeah, and these are the support races, yeah.
Yeah, so...
Does it really matter? I think we're being a bit pedantic. Does it matter which particular race they died in? They still died in Merseyside over the weekend. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. But I think the thing is that if you... Like, I was there last year and, you know, there was massive riots about the National itself, just the race that day. And the thing is that's the thing they want mainly banned. And if you ban that... It slips into the rest of the industry, and you ban the next thing, and you ban the next thing, and eventually it's gone. So,
but I'm not one for censorship or banning anything, you know, for any particular reason. But you know, I would like to think that people would stand up and not kind of, you know, entertain this, but unfortunately, people do. The point is, you know, we do ban things all the time that we believe are not good. You know what I mean? They're not good for society. You know, like we, as I mentioned earlier on, the obvious example is animals and circuses. That's banned now in Ireland. You know what I mean?
I think that's a massive. I think the comparison there is wrong in the way that these horses are every single morning, afternoon, evening. Like they are so well looked after.
Yeah, a lot of the circuses would tell you their animals were well looked after too. Some didn't look after them so well, but there were others that did look after them well. The same way as in the industry, the horse racing industry, many horses by some of the great talented trainers out there are looked after extremely well. But there are others that are not looked after well.
Yeah, I'm not going to disagree with the fact that there's definitely horses out there that aren't looked after well, but I'd say 95% are well looked after. And that's the difference. Look, I know nothing about the circus, but I know nothing about that, but I think, you know, that's a different industry altogether.
Well, to use the analogy, at the time, the circus analogy that was used was, say, like an elephant, right? So an elephant was put in the middle of a circus ring and told to stand up on this little 3-4 foot podium on his back legs and do a handstand or whatever, right? You know, that's not what elephants do in the wild. Elephants walk in the wild. They don't stand still. They don't stand on podiums. The same way as I could argue, even with show jumping, for example, we see a show jumper trying to get a horse to jump over a 7 foot or 6.5 foot fence. A horse would never do that in the wild. A horse would come up to an obstacle like that and figure out a way around it. They're not going to try and jump over it. And we've seen that in show jumping where the horse will literally stop and the rider is thrown off because the horse says, I'm not jumping over that. You know what I mean? Or they'll be made to jump over it, you know, and lose a leg or whatever. You know, I don't know. But what I'm saying to you is some of it is quite unnatural. That's the point Elaine is making, that maybe we change the rules a bit. Or Elaine suggested maybe, you know, you don't make money of it anymore. But that would be the end of the sport anyway if you didn't make money of it.
Yeah, I think
just have lower obstacles or something, maybe.
Yeah, lower obstacles.
That has been brought in massively. Like, if you look at the national fences from back in when Red Rum was, I wasn't born then, but
I've seen the videos. Yeah.
You know, I've seen the videos. They were massive fences. They were absolutely huge. They were 10, 12 feet high. Now they're tiny compared to that. Like, the fact Tiger Rowe, if he ran it back then, wouldn't have gone over one fence and he won two nationals because they've lowered the fences in that race so massively. And they have brought in regulations of, you know, the white posting on the fences that allows the horse's eyes to be able to, you know, look at it better and be able to judge the jump better. They take out fences with the low rising sun. There's a lot of regulations been brought in. You know, this year the field was even lowered. The amount of horses was lowered, so, you know, it was safer. Amateur jockeys have been brought out of the race, so the horse is a better ride by a professional jockey. So the regulations are coming in, and there's massive rules that are coming in.
That's good.
You know, and they are the they are the changes that are happening. And it's also the same as that, you know, if it's been too hot or too windy on a day and the ground is too dry, you know, they'll water that track so it saves the horse to run or...
And by the way, I do appreciate all of those things. And many people say, I appreciate all those rules and regulations. And yes, they make it a safer sport. But it's still, if you look at DebtWatch, or horsedebtwatch.com, I think it's the name of the website, you'll see that, you know, in the last 20 years, the amount of horses that have died, not just in the Grand National, by the way, but I mean, the figure there for the Grand National I gave in the last 23 years was 67 deaths. Yeah. I mean, that's a lot. I mean, if we had 67 people died in football since 25, you know, mind you, the puppy has, we'd be concerned about it, wouldn't we?
We would, yeah, completely. I think, though, if you look at the amount of deaths in a horse race in the last 3 or 4 years when all these regulations came in compared to the 15 years before that, I'd say you're...
It's dropped, yeah, probably has.
Your average has definitely dropped massively.
Sorry, Elaine. Well, hang on, What were you trying to say there?
No, like, I know there was... the odd deaths there, you were saying, in the last 20-odd years. And I know it is still, like, it's quite a high number, and I empathise with the people, you know, and the animals and stuff like that. But to be fair, that kind of number in the last 20-odd years, it's not that bad. And I think if the obstacles or something were more regulated, it would be fine. But I definitely don't believe that we should, you know, continue to cancel out bits and pieces of our culture, because there's nothing left.
Okay, well, do me a favor, both of you. Let me just go to Dennis Nealis, and Dennis is from Sentient Rights Ireland. Dennis, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall. Thank you for having me on. I'm good, thank you.
You're welcome. Of course, you know, this debate happens after every Grand National. Dennis, we're well aware of that at this stage. Two more horses, yeah, you know, lost their life over the weekend. It wasn't in the actual Grand National itself, but it was at the event over the weekend. And, you know, according to Ben, I know nothing about horse racing, they have made the event a lot safer than it used to be. And certainly that would reduce the debts, but you'd be still calling for it to be banned altogether.
Yeah, our position is we're an animal rights party, and we understand animal rights to be animals contain or have within them moral rights, and we should treat them with respect and not use them or exploit them in any way. Animals were on Earth before humans arrived. They're here for their own reasons. And if we look at, say, man-made climate crisis, no wild animals have contributed to that. In fact, they're an integral part of the biodiversity that keeps our planet healthy, and that's why animals are here. That is their job, including horses.
They'll be here long after we go, by the way, Dennis. Animals, they say, will be here long after we cease to exist and become extinct. We'll probably be the first to be extinct, to be honest with you. But
we're working hard at it anyway.
Yeah, certainly. But I'm listening to Ben. Now, I know little about horse racing. I have no interest in horse racing whatsoever. But I'm listening to Ben, and it does seem like they're making an effort to make it a less dangerous sport. The dangers are still there, obviously. But they're making an effort to make it a less dangerous sport. And you can't deny that a lot of the trainers, the big trainers, particularly the Irish ones, because we're quite famous for producing racehorses in this country, more so than any other country in the world, you know, they would treat their animals better than they treat their own wives and children, some of them. Or vice versa, their husbands and children.
God help the wives and children. Horse Racing Ireland and Horse Racing UK are very much interlinked and entangled. In Ireland, we give grant money of about 80 million every year to horse racing. It's called the 80-20 split, and greyhound racing gets the 20%, horse racing gets the 80%. This is taxpayers' hard-earned money in this day and age. We know for a fact that every year there's a loading comes from the horse racing industry to things like point-to-point and also fox hunting. So fox hunting is, there's 35 approximately fox hunting, mounted fox hunting gangs around Ireland, and they are all receiving taxpayers' money via Horse Racing Ireland. This is a very, very cynical industry. They're sending thoroughbreds to slaughter, even at a year old. These are the thoroughbreds that are just too slow. They've never made the track, and it can be ending up to 5,000 thoroughbred horses in a year, some slaughtered in Irish slaughterhouses. I believe there's 5 dedicated slaughterhouses in Ireland dedicated to slaughtering horses. And those horses, their remains then are made into burgers for the European trade. And up to 3,000 horses have been known to be sent to England to receive the same fate. So this is a very, very cynical industry. And the other thing that's very cynical about it If a horse gets injured at a race and dies a few days later, they don't report that as a death from the race. They just forget about it. So the numbers that we're getting of horses dying in races is a very, very low.
Okay, so
number.
The number you're saying we're getting is the number who died on the track, so to speak.
On the day, yeah, that we're not getting the real figure. And we don't get figures for unregistered horses either. There's a whole darkness in all this.
I understand the point you're making. Well, hang on. I understand the point you're making about taxpayers' investment. But yeah, that 80 million investment brings back a good return for the taxpayer. Because realistically, the horse racing industry in itself, between tourism, between betting and everything else that goes into it, brings billions into the country.
Yeah, well, you could say the same about drug selling.
You can't compare drug selling to horse racing, to be fair.
Well, there's no point in using animals. I mean, there's loads of things to bet on. You can bet on football. If we look at the gambling issue, we see gambling is at an all-time high. We see it is in terms of the addiction. It is really gone crazy. We're listening to all the figures from the people dealing with addictions directly, and this is a direct result of betting on horses.
Mm.
But they're betting not just on horses in Ireland, but all worldwide. And it's not just
If horse racing ceased to exist tomorrow, do you think gamblers are going to stop gambling? No, they won't. That's a human addiction. That's a completely separate issue. Because horse racing has no reflection on that whatsoever. If horse racing was banned, those gamblers would bet on anything. They'll gamble on two spiders walking up a wall. You know what I mean?
I hear you, and I agree with you to a certain extent. But that's what horse racing is sold on. It's sold on the excitement. It's sold on the glamour. It's not healthy for a horse to be involved in horse racing. No animal should be used by a human. That's the bottom line here.
You could argue, Dennis, that, you know, before the car came along, we used horses for transport. People still do in parts of the world. We use horses for transport. Some parts of the world, they use elephants and camels. But we used horses.
Yes, of course, I'll give you that. There's no question about that. That was a different time, a different place. But we do not need horses for transport now. We have perfectly good cars to get us around. In fact, we don't need horse-drawn carriages of any type for tourism, for weddings, for funerals. In America now, there are EV carriages that can bring you to your funeral, or that can bring you to a wedding. So that's what we should have here. Horses should never be used.
Hang on, Dennis, for a second before I come to Ed. Ben, in relation to what Dennis is saying from Sentient Rights Ireland, you know, it should be banned. There is no benefit at all. He believes it's quite cynical what's going on. A lot of the figures have been, you know, kind of dumbed down a little bit to make us feel a little bit better, that many more horses actually die that we don't hear about, and the animals generally are treated badly.
Yeah, look, listen to all his points. I expect his views. I just think the thing is that, look, if you go and ban the sport, like, you're talking about that 80 million, right? That's not going to go into the sport anymore. It's not going to generate anything back. So first of all, you lose everything that goes into the care of the animals. Because if you think the government's going to keep supporting it after you get rid of the sport, you're having a laugh there.
No.
So there's no money going to go into support the animals, right? So then you're going to have horses all around the country dying from starvation. They'll be running onto roads, getting hit by cars. And you think if it's going to be controlled by the government, if you get rid of the sport, there's another laugh for you, because that's not going to happen. So, you know.
But that only applies to the existing animals that at the moment, because equally, breeders are going to stop. If we ban the sport, breeders will stop breeding the horses. So that problem that you talk about will only happen for a short period of time. And if they banned it, they could put something in place to continue to support them for the next 4 or 5 years or whatever the lifespan of a bloody horse is.
They won't stop breeding. Because the fact is that this isn't going to be banned worldwide. If you ban it in Ireland, they're still going to breed because they're the best breeders in the world, and we're just selling them to Dubai or we're selling them to wherever it is. So the fact is that you're not going to, if you want to ban the whole thing and ban breeding in the country, like, first of all, if you ban breeding, the whole industry will collapse, and the money loss, and breeding isn't dangerous.
By the way, there's hardly any money made to this country from breeding horses, because you have to remember, breeding horses is tax-free.
Yeah, true, I guess.
So the state make no money out of that.
Well, then, you know, the people that are making the money off that pay the people in their stables who are looking after the horses, who then give back to the economy when they go to the pharmacy, or they go to the pub, or they go to the restaurant, or they go to whatever it is.
Fair enough. Okay, we'll stay there. Let me just go to Ed as well. Ed, hi, how are you?
Niall, how are you?
Good. Ed, you've heard Dennis make a very good argument as to why we shouldn't have horse racing and how cruel it is.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And you know what? As I'm listening to you, I'm making notes. And with the greatest respect to Dennis, I'm hoping you don't mind me saying this, Dennis, you're talking shite.
Right, okay. Well, if you want to, if you think Dennis is talking shite, that's fine. Well, tell me why he's talking shite.
Okay. Now, he said that in the statistics have shown that there was 3,000 horses who didn't make the grade who were sent for slaughter and they were exported for burgers and...
Glue or whatever it is they use them for, yeah.
Yeah, okay. You know, how many cattle have been done the same? How many sheep have been done the same? How many young deer have been done the same? So
But that doesn't make it right.
No,
that's not an argument against his argument. Just because there's other animals have had seen the same fate.
I know, but again, Niall, with yourself, you said earlier on at the opening of your argument, and I have made a note here.
Okay.
That you said horses, they don't consent to this.
Yeah.
Now I say yes. You said then you come back and say, oh, but the horses love to run in the wild and run in the wild.
Yeah, they do.
So if you're running the wild, and if you're running the wild and you come across an obstacle, a horse will jump it. All we're doing is we're focusing this horse to run and jump a certain obstacle. And I think it was Ben who made a very, very good point. Sorry, I'm looking at you. Ben said, yeah, they are treated absolutely fantastic. Now, I'm a big horseman. I don't own horses. But I do back horses. Yeah. I love horse racing.
Yeah.
I love the ground. And believe it or not, I did have the winner of the Oya Maximus.
Good man. Much to win.
I'd only a fiver on that 7-1, but okay. Got 40 quid back.
Fair enough.
Now, you look at the Dublin Horse Show. They're jumping higher fences. They're jumping poles. They're jumping blocks. And the dressage. They're training horses to entertain people.
Do you think it's normal? In the wild, it certainly wouldn't be. For a horse to run up to a 7-foot fence or an 8-foot fence, in some case. I don't know what the highest fence is in the show jumping, and to jump over, or to try and jump over it. If a horse came up against an obstacle in the wild, that height, they wouldn't even attempt to jump over it. They'd walk around it.
No, but they're trained to do it. And again, going back to your other caller, and I'm sorry I'm flicking through here.
With your notes?
Dennis said. Yeah. Dennis said that animals are here to be just naturalized. But yeah, we train dogs to sniff drugs. We train dogs to sniff cash. We train dogs to sniff goods.
We train dogs to help people who are blind. We train dogs for all sorts of purposes.
Is that wrong? Well, they're just a dog, as Ben said. It should be just a pet to run around the back garden, have a pee, have a pill, go for a walk, come back, lie down, eat a bone.
Okay, well, hang on. Let me just go to Dennis. Dennis, you know, that's a fair point Ed makes. You know, we train dogs to do different things. You have an objection to that?
I'm listening to the multiple reasons put there, and it's the same excuses that used in the time of the transatlantic slavery, you know, from Africa to, first of all, to England and then on to America, to the Americas, about the industry and about how much money was being made and what it meant to the
economy. No, you're not answering the question I've asked you. You've gone off there on a bit of a tangent.
I answered the question. It is wrong to use any animals and for taking something that's quite benign or something that's quite violent. We know that the animal liberation and human liberation are very much interconnected. And we also know the suppression of animals and the suppression of humans are two very much interconnected. And where you have the oppression of animals, you will also have the oppression of people. We see this in animal agriculture. We see this in the murder of indigenous people in South America, in the Amazon.
Can you just give me a simple answer to the question I asked you, Dennis? Sorry, I want to go back to the question that Ed has drawn there, and I think it's an interesting question. When we train a dog, you know, to assist a blind person, or when we train a dog to sniff out drugs at an airport or whatever, is that wrong?
Yeah. But why don't animals have rights? The first thing we need...
You haven't answered my question. Is it wrong or right? Just ask me a question. Is it wrong or right?
Can't answer the question. That's it.
Is it wrong?
It's wrong to break any animal to our will. Animals are not here for us. They are here for their own reasons.
Yeah, I had a dog for years. I trained him to go to the toilet out the back garden rather than his natural instinct, which is just to shit wherever he wants to. So in saying that...
Niall, you should be sent to prison. You should be sent to prison.
But it is. No, we do train... And we train human beings to do certain things too.
Animals will not use where they live as their latrines. Only the human ones... We are the only species that go to the bathroom or go to the toilet where we live. Animals do not do that. If you look at animals in the wild, their latrine is well away from where they live.
You haven't seen some of the lads in Temple Bar on a Saturday night. But
hold on a second. That's humans.
Yeah.
That's humans.
Okay, but the point I'm making is, the point I'm trying to make, and I think Ed makes a good point, is that sometimes when we do use animals for the benefit of human beings, it's not a bad thing. It's positive. And those animals, you know, I've seen the way dogs, many of them are treated, those drug dogs, for example, or indeed guide dogs, you know, they're treated better than human beings, some of those animals, and they're rewarded better than human beings. And I don't see anything too wrong with that.
Animals have been utilized for years. They were utilized during wartime. But where are their rights? They were utilized down the mines. They're horses that spent their whole life living in a dark mine. They spent the night there. They were there the next day when the miners came back down again. At least the miners got a chance to go home. Every time we exploit animals, every time we use them, we are exploiting.
That's
we are taking sight. From them. We are taking from them. We need to recognize that animals have rights, and that is the beginning of the end of speciesism, and that is a moral and ethic point. It is unassailable. It is undeniable.
Pure shite.
Well, no, let's have a reasoned conversation, Ed. You can't just keep saying everything is shite.
Sorry.
All right, sorry. Okay. Disagree with Dennis, would be fair to say.
I would agree what he said, that animals were used in mines.
Yeah,
animals
of course they were.
Coal barges, coal, potatoes, everything around Dublin to feed the people.
Yeah.
But I can guarantee you that those animals were rested. They were fed. They were groomed. They were looked after. They were shod by blacksmiths when blacksmiths were abundant in the 50s and the 60s. And you know that.
I still wouldn't like to be a horse to be dragged down to the mines every day and be basically in the pitch black most of my life. I still wouldn't want that, would I?
You're listening to Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
With Recruit.ie. Download our job search app today. Search for Recruit.ie in your smartphone app store.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
All right, with me I have Dennis Nealis, who's from Sentient Rights Ireland. Ed also arguing with him because he sees nothing wrong with horse racing. Let me go to Pam as well. Lad, stay with me for a second. Pam, hi, how are you?
Good evening, Niall. How are you?
Good. Pam, would you agree with banning horse racing?
I don't. For the reason that, look, the horses are not being made fun of. The horses aren't being used for entertainment.
Well, they are.
Horses are...
Well, they are. They are being used for entertainment.
It's racing, yeah. It's racing. That's what horses are built for. So, like, okay, you've working horses back in the day, right? They also died probably of injuries or if they fell over or if they were... you know, had an accident, sure, but that wasn't talked about. But the regulations have changed over the years. No horse racer, horse trainer puts all that money into a beautiful horse. They are beautiful animals, by the way. You be sure they have the correct feed, the correct water amount, the correct weight, and they're well looked after. There is no way a horse trainer would predict that a horse will fall over the jump, crack his leg or crack his thing and die. There's no
what happens?
All that much money.
What happens when a reputable horse trainer, for example, has, you know, I don't know, maybe 50, 60 horses that are running or whatever all the time, and all of a sudden, you know, Niall, one of his favourite horses, is not performing anymore. Niall has just got a little bit too old for it. Niall has got a bit too slow for it. So what happens to Niall?
Well, I suppose there's an onus on the trainer then to, like, maybe, you know, there's to be a registrar where the horse reaches a certain age and he needs to claim that horse is not actually fit for racing. So he needs to put on that register under his liable company of his training company or the horse company that this horse has reached his viable age. He can't race anymore, and that it should be put on the register, like, on his, for them to see, for everybody to see that this horse has reached his maximum age of racing.
And what happens to Niall? What happens to Niall, the racehorse, who's now no good anymore? What happens? Does he go off then?
I would
Wasn't there a documentary by RT not so long ago, going back a couple of years ago? Somebody will remind me of the name of it. And they show the horse being brought off to the knackery yard. And that was the end of the horse.
Yeah, I wouldn't like to think what they would do to the horse. Like, they'd probably put it to sleep because it's not going to make them more money anymore. And that is a very, very sad case, which does happen. But while the horse is in its prime, it's been well looked after. Oh. Yes, I don't agree.
Well, I'm in my prime right now at the moment.
Are you now?
Yeah, and so I'm being well looked after here by my wife and my producer. And
yeah.
Everybody looks after me. When I cease to be good at my job anymore, should they just put me on a register and that'll be the end of me? Should bring me off and put me asleep? We don't treat human beings like that. We actually respect our elders and, you know, as human beings.
We do. And we shouldn't have human assisted death and we shouldn't have horses assisted death either, right?
Yeah.
So maybe the horse trainer, maybe they can come up with a new legislation or a new, we can't even pass like in medical government stuff at the moment, but like maybe they can come up with like kind of, I don't know.
Yeah. How long is a horse good for? I mean, Ed, you're into the horse racing. Ed, how long is a horse good for? How many years is a horse good for racing?
No, you will get a good chase horse who's good at 12, 14 years old, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And only a 14-year-old won in one of the chases there in the National the other day. The normal age is around 10, 12 years.
And what's the natural lifespan of a horse? What is the natural lifespan of a horse?
Oh, Gage, I couldn't tell you.
Okay.
It's like
the natural lifespan of a horse. Just check that for me.
Jane will do that. But come here, can I tell you, Niall, now, and I just, again, I'm agreeing with your last caller there, that lady, she sounds lovely. But a lot of horses, just because a horse fails to start winning races and starts to slow down, over the years, owners become attached. They become family. And a lot of horses, and I know this for a fact because I was involved in horses for many years, a lot of horses retire. As in, they retire to a field.
Mm.
Like the donkeys, they graze. They're brought in every night. Okay. They're stabled and all that. And they're not...
Okay, but let me ask Dan. Let me come back to Dennis on that.
Not just said, yeah. I just want to clear this up. They are not just said, right, you're a useless effort. Get them out to the knackery yard. That's a misconception.
Knackery yard, yeah. Okay, sorry, Dennis. The average lifespan, I've just been told in my ear here, is 25 to 30 years for a horse. That's the natural lifespan of a horse, right?
Okay.
So
a lot of horses will die before that.
Okay, sorry, just Dennis, from your experience, and well, hang on, Ed and Pam. Dennis, just coming back to you there. Are you still there, Dennis? Yeah.
Yeah.
So the average.
I'm here, yeah.
Yeah. And the average lifespan, Dennis, of a horse is 25 to 30 years. From what you've looked at and the research, and I know obviously you're against horses, so obviously your research is slightly loaded, but from the average research, what percentage of horses are kept by owners in fields to, you know, live out the rest of their natural life, grazing around and having fun?
I'd say there's probably a chance there's more unicorns around the place than any horses being kept. The thing is, Niall, we know this from greyhound racing as well. Horses and dogs, and indeed any animals that are being abused and exploited, their life expectancy is very, very bad. It's very poor. We know people who have rescued horses and dogs, and they happen to last a year or two because of the injuries they suffer in this entertainment, this spectacle for humans. Now, animal rights, I just want to say this, animal rights is an ethical and moral position. And it has an impact on society when the moral rights of animals are not being adhered to and are not being upheld in law. And we see this in the rise of, say, slavery worldwide. We see over 20 million human beings are now press-ganged into slavery worldwide in various ways, in various industries. And this is a moral and ethical issue that we all have to deal with and to make society a much safer place for the vulnerable, for the animals, for the young people, for people who are vulnerable, whether it's money should be spent on this, certainly grant money, and this grant money that's given to horse racing and given to greyhound racing, that should have been spent on health. It should have been spent on housing, not on entertainment. This is the wrong thing to do with this.
Oh, my God.
Absolutely. And we see things like children's psychiatric services. They're acutely and grossly underfunded.
You can't equate the two, right? You can't turn around and say, you know, we should be spending money on this, this, and this. We're quite a wealthy small country, by the way. We have money we can spend on those things. It's just badly administrated. So I don't agree with that argument, Dennis, that if we got rid of horse racing, that money could be better spent providing housing or providing mental health services or whatever. Well, you could argue that about everything.
Niall, I'm just saying take the grant money off them anyway, you know.
Well, hang on. I want to go to Joe as well. He's been waiting ages. Sorry, stay there, pal.
Most racetracks in Ireland are not turning a profit.
Okay. Well, I wouldn't know that. I wouldn't know that you were telling me that. Joe, hi. How are you doing?
Hi, not too bad. Good evening, Niall. How are you?
Good evening, Joe. Dennis there is arguing that, you know, we have to be fair to the animals. They're sentient beings, you know, and horse racing is cruel. Is it cruel?
No, it's not cruel. It's certainly not cruel. Look, if we keep going down this road about saying everything is cruel, we're going to turn into a sort of a nanny state, and we're already turning into a nanny state the way things are going. This word about banning this is a load of cobblers, with respect. Now, Dennis is entitled to his view, and I know, I understand where he's coming from, but that's his judgment. But look, there's thousands upon thousands of people were watching the Grand National on Saturday. The Grand National is the biggest sporting event in the world. It's actually bigger than the World Cup or any Olympics put together. It's also the family. It's known as the race of the people's race, because everybody unites for nearly 15 minutes every year to watch one of the greatest spectacular sports in the world. And the strange thing about it is this year, of all years, there was hardly any foreigners in the National, because they done something with the fences. I think they had a few regulations.
That was explained to us earlier on. They've changed a lot of the regulations around the fences. Yeah,
and as well as that, instead of the 40 horses running, there was only 34 horses running.
Yeah.
So it was actually the most successful race ever in the history of the Aintree meeting. And, the way I look at it, Niall, is if people have a problem with racing, or have a problem with things in general, they shouldn't bother watching it, really. That's the way I look at it.
Mm.
And they're entitled to their view. Everyone is entitled to give their view, and I would have no problem with people objecting to things. But look, you saw last year where you had these environmentalists running onto the track trying to barricade themselves up in the main part of the track, you know? And they were very, very lucky they didn't end up getting killed, because I can tell you, if any of them idiots had to get a wallop of any of those horses, I can guarantee you they wouldn't be living
to tell the tale. No, but I don't believe that's the way to deal with it. I don't believe that's the way to deal with a problem, is to stand out in the middle of a track. Same way as I don't believe Just Stop Oil people should be lying in the middle of roads.
Yeah, and they were the same. And they were the same people who last year threw paint, or threw paint on top of the snooker table at the World Championships, remember?
Yeah. They're loonies.
Yeah, but they were already warned this year not to turn up at the event, because they knew consequences would be fatal for them.
Mm.
So the way I look at it, look, Niall, I would have no problem. I have no problem with racing. I've been following racing since I was a boy, and look, I don't.
Let me just put that together to Dennis. Dennis, I get the point Joe is making, you know, and I remember as a kid, you know, my dad would sit us all down on Grand National Day, even though my father was not a gambler, never did. The only time he would ever bet is for the Grand National. And he would sit us all down with a newspaper, and we'd all pick a horse as a child, and he'd go over and put a 50 pence bet on. And Joe makes a good point. It's a big sport, you know, in the fact that particular day brings a lot of people together. You know, it's a family entertainment. I understand that for years many horses did die, but it has got safer for the horse, and that, you know, there's always going to be some level of entertainment involving animals to some degree, so you can't just ban everything.
I'm not talking about banning. I'm talking about horses should not be utilised no more than any other animal. We don't need to survive as human beings by exploiting any animal for any reason. That is not necessary. When I think about trainers, there was somebody on there, I think the lady.
Pam, she's still there.
Pam, she was talking about the trainers. I mean, when I think of trainers, I think of the trainer from County Meath, whose name I can't recall, sitting on a dead horse who was
Gordon
just died
Elliot.
Of a heart attack.
Gordon Elliott, yeah,
yeah,
Gordon Elliott.
Just had died of a heart attack. We love our horses.
He did,
yeah,
apologize for that. He did apologize.
I know, well.
Human beings make stupid mistakes.
We should all apologize to horses, and we should all apologize to every animal that we have been part of the exploitation in our whole life. This is speciesism.
Dennis, with respect, when you say exploiting, we exploit animals in different ways. I mean, if you're lying on your hospital bed, on your deathbed, and the doctor says to you, here's a drug that'll save your life, by the way, it's been tested on animals, that's how we developed it, you're not going to refuse it, are you?
Well, there's very few of those drugs, that they've got a lot more drugs if they weren't testing on animals. And I would like to say the 24th of April, between 12 and 2 o'clock, we will be outside the front door of St. Stephen's Green Shopping Centre handing out information and leaflets about Laboratory Day. It is World Laboratory Day. There's over thousands upon thousands of animals tested fatally in Irish laboratories, all attached to universities.
And you know what, Dennis, when we get to a day where we can, with AI, it's getting closer, where we can test, you know, the reaction, the doomsday reaction of drugs or new drugs that we're trying to develop, you know, on a computer through DNA rather than testing it on an animal, I would be delighted. But we're not at that point yet. I don't believe we're at that point yet.
I would disagree with you. We did a demo outside Trinity College, and the young students came up to us. They were listening to us. They had read our literature, and they said they agreed with us. And they had.
And what happens when a surgeon does surgery? Well, actually, they tend to use dead pigs, don't they, for when they're practicing surgery? They use dead pigs. Pigs are very similar.
Live pigs have been used in testing as well. They're also being used in armies, but from bayonet training. We have an appalling dysfunctional relationship with animals, and that is what's making us sick. It's what's making the violence in society, international warfare. We will never have peace until we start respecting the other species on Earth just because we think we're smarter than them. We are not.
Pam, just getting back to you. Joe, stay there. Pam, do you think we treat animals generally badly? Do we treat them badly?
In a way we do, in some areas that we do. But I think maybe I would like to just come back onto what the chap just said there. I think maybe he's tainting maybe all of animals in and all our society are being treated badly, and they're not. I think maybe just the negative experience of the horse that died of a heart attack and the guy was sitting on the horse, maybe that's just one negative experience that happened.
It was a stupid thing for him to do, but he did apologise.
Yeah, it does not mean that it taints the whole horse racing altogether. It's just one bad experience, and that does not go for everything else. Yes, there is cruelty in this world against humans, animals, frogs, pigs, dogs, cats, lions, tigers. What about all the humans that go and they run in triathlons and they do those big things? What are they called? Ironmans.
Yeah, but that's not a fair comparison, because human beings can make a decision to do it or not do it. An animal doesn't have that choice.
No, I know. But horses, that's what horses are made for. Horses are meant to race. Horses are meant to be, they're big animals. That's what they want to do. And the legislations have changed. And I think it's not fair. I'm not disagreeing what the man is saying, but I think it's just not fair to taint one experience. Yes, he's entitled to his opinion, but it doesn't taint the whole horse racing altogether.
Okay, well, stay there. Let me just bring Maureen in before the news. Maureen, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall, how are you?
Good. Maureen, you've heard what Dennis has to say, and he's going to be obviously outside St. Stephen's Green, is it St. Stephen's Green Shopping Centre? You know, basically advocating for, you know, the banning of these kind of sports or using animal for entertainment purposes or whatever. Is he right?
Yes, I think so. Well, I found, especially when we were on about horse racing, I found that, and like you said, now I look as a child even, before I began to understand how animals were actually being used, I'd be sitting there to watching the Grand National, and I'd cringe at what I'd see happening to the horses. I think it's one of the worst races ever. And it's fine to say, look, horses were bred to race. Horses are bred for this, that, and the other. No animal was bred actually to do anything. Horses are natural jumpers. In the wild, they will only jump if they have to. Even in show jumping. What was the highest the wall was in show jumping? Was it almost 7 feet?
I don't know. Couldn't tell you. Yeah, it probably is 7 or 8 foot, I suppose.
I think so, yeah. Can I get in for a second?
Hang on,
Just look at that horse. approaching that wall after doing all the other jumps, if you study and watch very carefully, the horse, some of the horses, they know they're facing this wall. Do you actually think that that horse wants to try and jump this 7-foot wall?
Mm.
No, he doesn't, because it's not in his nature, but he's being forced to do it. And I do agree. I do agree that we are exploiting animals in a lot of ways. Mm. We can say the same about the Crufts dog show and everything else. These dogs are pampered and pooched and dressed up. And what's their home life like? They're just there to make money.
Okay, but just on the point of the show jumping, Joe, you've heard Maureen says, you know, a horse is not designed to be jumping over 8-foot fence. And in the wild, a horse would never even attempt to do that. They're being forced to do it.
I'm not going to disagree with Maureen. Look, Maureen is a very intelligent lady. She gives good contributions to the show, and I'm not going to dispute what she says. But look, I think the majority of trainers, the majority of them, do have good intentions. They do look after the horses to their best ability. Now, you will always get the odd rogue who does bad things to horses. There have been in the past a lot of shysters who have done a lot of damage involving racing and have given racing a bad name. But I think, thankfully, them days are gone a bit now. And I think that it's a lot different now than what it was 30, 40, 50 years ago.
Mm.
Because I think that the fact that television has changed racing completely, you must remember now that there's a lot more racing on television now than there were back in the 1970s and 80s.
Oh, there's dedicated television channels to it now, you know.
You remember it was only RT.
On a Saturday afternoon. Yeah, Saturday afternoon. Yeah. But I mean, they have whole channels dedicated to it. Dennis, I have 1 minute left. I'll let you have the final say, Dennis. Remind us again when your protest is, where your protest is, and what people can do if they want to support you.
Thank you. Yeah, the 24th, next week, we're out 24th of April. From 12 to 2 o'clock, we're outside St. Stephen's Green Centre. It's World Day in Laboratory, animals in laboratories. They shouldn't be there. The students told us outside Trinity, they were pleading with their professors to just use non-animal testing. They get better results. 90% of tests brought to human trials get kicked out. We would be further along with our medication if we were not consuming animal products, and if we did not test on animals, if we stopped abusing animals, if we stopped exploiting animals, this world would be a better place.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.